feel appreciated, appreciated by your family, by your friends, by your children. So we do want to, you know, if fathers, if you weren't here, or men that weren't here last week, we want to wish you a happy Father's Day. And we pray that God's best for you.
Amen.
That the Holy Spirit would be upon your heart and life, and He would control every part of your being. Amen. I want you to turn, if you would, as we get into God's Word. Well, let's make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life.
This is life.
I will honor it today.
Honor it today.
As His Word,
His Word
brings life
to
my spirit. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Amen. Just the Spirit of the Lord in this place. My Lord God. Praise God. Just to... always remember, the Spirit of the Lord is priceless. It's priceless. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon a person or comes in a church setting, that is a priceless thing, because God cannot be bought by anything. And all He's looking for is a humble heart before Him. Then, Father, move. Lord, have mercy upon us and your grace upon our lives. Matthew chapter 16. Before we read the text, I want to ask, when you think of a person, you know, you can have fond memories of him or her, or you can have ill feelings towards that person. You know, when I throw out a name at you, and these are some of them are Bible names, when you think of one of the disciples, Thomas, what do you think of? Doubting. That's the first thing that, for me too, doubting Thomas. When you think of Judas, what do you think?
Betrayer.
Yeah. Now I'm going to throw this one's not in the Bible, but you're going to laugh about this one. When you think of Elizabeth Taylor.
Diamonds.
I thought of many marriages. Seven or eight, I don't know. What?
Weddings,
you know. You know, when you throw out names, when you think of Fidel Castro, what do you think? Communism. Cuba. When you think of the Apostle Paul. What?
Great man of God.
Great faith. Wrote 13 books of the New Testament. There's many things. When you think of, now this is a big one, well, right now anyway, and not that the other ones are not big, okay, but when you think of President Trump,
change,
good, what else? Our friend.
A tweeter,
yeah, that's good. Strong man. You know, this, and all those were great. When you think of Peter, what do you think of? I mentioned it before. What, Peter? Huh? Rock. Peter walked on water. I mean, there's so many things. So many things. And there's many others, you know, you can name, and you know, and first thing comes to your mind is, you know, what you thought of them. Good or bad? Good or bad, you know. But I want to read something to you, and it's in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Look at starting with verse 13. It says this: when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He said unto them, But whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here we see the scenario starts. Jesus, from this point, it wouldn't be but maybe a couple more months that Jesus would die upon the cross. And we have to remember, he was with his disciples. Now, it was only his disciples right here at this time. The 12, he was with them. And what he was trying to do was teach them some things. But the scenario was that he knew that he was going to be, if you want to say, dying upon the cross in a matter of months. And the whole future of the ministry of Jesus Christ laid in the hands of these 12 men. And if they didn't get it right who he actually was, and not believing the unbelief of what others were saying about him, they probably could not have carried on the ministry of Jesus Christ. And we know the power of God, Pentecost came and helped them and did all kinds of stuff. But the groundwork had to be laid, and he was asking them questions. What he was trying to do was to make them come to the realization that they had to search their heart in who he actually was to them. Who he was to them. And he poses the question because, you know, he's at that Caesarea Philippi, you know, that area. And he poses the question. He says, look, guys, or disciples, well, I might have named them all, whatever he did. He says, who are they saying that I am? And really, he was coming around the bush to get back to them. But he was saying, who are they saying that I am? You know, and they said, well, you know, we've heard. We've heard. Some saying that you are Elijah. Some saying you're a prophet that has come back. Some saying you're Jeremiah. You know, all kinds of things. But he knew that the enemy was letting them hear these things from the people to put doubt in their mind of who Jesus was to them. That's why he said, what are they saying that I am? See, we got to watch the doubt. And not that doubt of any kind come into our hearts or into our minds or into our bodies at all.
Amen.
You see, the only thing that will help us with our doubts is this word. This is like the fly swatter of doubt. You like that? You know, the fly swatter of doubt. That doubt comes in and hits it. And it goes. Because of the faith and power in the Word of God. The faith and power in the Word of God. That it destroys faith. Destroys doubt, but builds faith. Excuse me. It destroys the doubt, but builds the faith in us, this word. That's why God, and I know I've mentioned it many, many times, says, study to show yourself approved unto him. Doesn't say for us to be approved, but it says for us to study it, to get it in our hearts, to get it in our minds, to get it in our spirits. We got to know the word, people. We have to know it. There's no reason today in this time and age that every one of us shouldn't have a relative amount of knowledge of that word. We should have it because of the availability of it. How we can have it and we read it and instill it into our lives. But yet, we see Jesus was spending more time along with his disciples as he prepared them for the responsibilities of future ministries. He said, "Look, men, who do they say that I am? And some say you are John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets." We can never allow doubt of any kind to infiltrate our hearts. You know, how many of us have prayed for people to be healed and they weren't? And the devil will say, "Well, God can't heal." Yes, he can. It's not God's problem, it's ours on our part. How many times have we prayed for something and maybe it didn't happen the way that we wanted it to happen? Don't let unbelief and doubt come in at all. Reject it. Reject it. And say, "Lord, I put my faith in Christ, what you did at Calvary's cross. I know you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are my God. You are my Savior. And Lord, I put my faith in you. In you. And what you have done. Because we know he is alive and well. Our God has died upon the cross. He's won victory for us over sin, death, hell, and the grave. And if he does nothing else for us, that's more than enough. But we can stand firm, that we can believe the word of God, we can stand strong in it, and we can reject the doubt of the enemy. That we don't allow these things to come in, we reject it. And what he was doing, he was sitting with them, his disciples, and teaching them what they needed. Because if doubt set in, they could not fulfill what God had set out for them to accomplish. Then it boils down to the next few verses. And after they, you know, they say, "Well, this one said this, and this one said that." And he said, "Now I want to ask you something. Who do you think, who do you say I am? Who do you say that I am?" And let me tell you, it's hard when the Holy Spirit starts to work in our hearts and lives and he starts to point things out in our hearts and lives. That's a hard thing. And God wants us to change. But God said, "Hey, men, okay, I know what they're saying." And he just wanted to hear what they had to say. He wanted them to see it. But now he said, "I want you to tell me, who am I to you? Am I just your provider while I'm here? Am I just something just to hang on to while I'm here?" And I don't know, it doesn't say for sure, but I don't know how long it took for them to respond. One of them. That's the only one we got. We only have one that responded that we know of in the scripture. And I'm sure if there was more than one that would have responded, they would have put it down in scripture. But only one responded, and we don't know how long it took. And Peter responded, and he said, "Lord, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." People, look. Messiah means Lord, God, Savior of the world. The Son of the living God. Not just any God or little g God, but he said, "You are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You are the Lord. You are God." See, people, what if God would pose that question to us? "Hey, Joe, who do you say that I am? Who am I to you?" Would we respond in a way that would please our Lord? It's an amazing thing. He didn't say, "Well, you are my bank account. Or you're my food stamps." And there's nothing wrong with these things, in the right perspective as Christians. "You're my go-getter. You just do what I tell you to do." No. He said, Simon Peter got to the point after a while and said, "You're my Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And people, we need to remember that He is the Messiah of the world. That He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is your God that goes before you. He's the God that supplies. But yet He is the Son of the living God. Praise be unto God. We need to know Him with a personal relationship. We need to know Him. We need to know Him. And as adults, you know, we say, well, you know, I would think everybody's a Christian here, you know. But I mean, we know Him. He is our God. He is our Lord. He's our Savior. Because you see, let me tell you, tomorrow, when you get out there in the world and you start working, you're going to hear all kinds of things. And the devil will try to put doubt in your mind that He's alive and well, that He died on the cross, that He rose again from the dead, that He's seated at the right hand of the Father, that He created everything in the world, that He created humans. What He tries to do, oh enemy, is put doubt with the Word of God, doubt with the things of God, doubt. And we should never allow that to enter in, that we reject it. We can't determine that it comes, but we can determine if it stays. We can't determine that it will come because people say all kinds of things. It's amazing to me. Sometimes I'll say, well, where is that found in the scripture? And let me tell you, there's a lot that people say as Christians, it is not found in scripture. At all. And so we got to believe what the scripture says. And what our God says through His word. He's the Messiah. And people, as Christians, we need to hold that banner up that there's no other God like our God. He's the only God for the earth. He's the only God for humanity. And we will not be shaken. We shall not be moved. You know that old song, I shall not be moved? We shall not be moved on this situation. I shall not be moved. That's a good song to sing. Or to believe when doubt comes in, or people try to say other things. And by the way, young people, that's here, you cannot ride into the coattail of heaven on your parents' shoulders.
Amen. That's the truth.
I know you're thinking, well, I'm going to. Let me tell you this. You need Jesus in your heart like every other adult. And if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you're not going to go to heaven. I said, well, ooh, man, that's a little strong. But let me tell you, I'd rather be strong and you stay out of hell than be soft and not make it to heaven, you know? People, you need to, look, teenage, I love you, let me tell you. But let me tell you, you need to have a personal relationship with your God. You need to pray to God. You need to call upon Him. You need to let the Spirit of God move in your heart and life. Let God move like He's moving everywhere else upon everyone's heart that wants Him to move. You need to declare, He is my Messiah. He's the Son of the living God like everybody else. Hold up the banner of righteousness and say, I will not take the path of unrighteousness. I will live a life that is holy before our God. That He will be pleased with the way that I live and think. And do what God wants us to do. Praise God. That we will raise up a generation of believers and not doubters. A generation of believers that will shake the heavens. And will believe God for miracles, signs, and wonders. That will not give up when something comes against them. But will even, it will make them stronger. It will make them stronger in the things of God. As the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho, how do you think they felt day after day of walking around that wall, being quiet, number one, and seeing nothing happen? Don't you think the enemy was telling them, give up? This city's too strong. There's no way possible that these walls will come tumbling down. There's no way possible. When God speaks, it means something. When God speaks, you can bank it will happen. When God speaks, we know we can rest assured. It's like Him writing us a check for $1 million. And it's coming no matter what. No matter what the world says, no matter what we think sometimes, that when God speaks, it is done. And they went around that wall that last time and they started to praise Him and honor Him like He said to do. And all of a sudden, the walls of the Jericho went into the ground. It's like this. It's like, I can't say this for sure, but I just want to use it. Okay? It's not in Scripture. But that last trip around that wall, and they started to praise their God. I can just imagine the Father standing there as He is on His throne. I can imagine the Father standing there. And it's like taking His foot. He has a big cockroach. And the wall went into the ground. My God. My God. The ground said, we have to open up. Our God says to you. And the wall just went into the ground. Praise God. See, we got to believe God for the impossible. Like never before. Like never before. People, I know the devil has said some of your children will never be saved. That's a lie from the pit of hell.
Amen.
So God has, the devil has said all kinds of evil about your spouse and your children and family that they'll never get saved. That is, when he starts to say those things, we can believe what God says because it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Because He is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He is the Messiah of the earth. He's the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Praise be unto our God. From the throne of heaven. When 24/7 they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That is what they say in heaven. Buddy, we need to learn a little bit about heaven.
Come on.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. They're declaring that at the throne room of heaven. Well, buddy, we need to declare that upon the throne room and upon the earth. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That's who our God is.
Yes.
Holy. Three holies for the triune God.
Woo.
God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Praise be unto God. He is the King of Kings. He is your Lord. He
yes.
is your God.
Yes.
When you wake up in the morning, old Slewfoot needs to crawl under the grave and slither away because you are God's child.
Yes.
You have the blood of Jesus at your disposal. You are a warrior for God. You take on the power and the presence of our God, the banner of righteousness, standing strong. And yes, sometimes we may think we're weak, but the word of God says when you're weak, I'm strong. Ooh, when you're strong, when we think we're strong, that's when God says you're really weak. You're really weak. Bring up that the next scriptures in Luke, I think it was. In Luke. And they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. And when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom. Verily I say to you, whatsoever you shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. God wants us to have a heart like a child.
Amen.
That we rely upon Him. That we trust Him. You know, a small child, you can have them do just about anything. Because why? They trust you. know, you can have them jump from whatever. They'll just jump most of them. Especially boys. Lord have mercy. They'll jump from the roof of a house. Just jump, jump. You won't break nothing. Don't worry about it. They'll jump. You know? They'll jump. You know, you don't know that that high rise apartment building that burnt in London, England. They were saying, I don't know how many stories high, just high up. They had a lady that had her infant child. And they knew, she knew that there was no way possible this child would live because of, they couldn't get out. Somehow, I don't know what the whole scenario of that, but it was engulfed in flames. From stories upon stories high, they had this man that was standing on at the ground level, and she threw her child. Do you think she had to trust that man? And I know that's kind of hard for us to, but when you're in that certain scenario of either burn to death and die, or maybe try to give some life, and she threw the baby down, and the guy called her. I mean, amazing. Don't you think angels and the power of God and the presence of God was there? We as a church, and we as individuals, need to be willing to let the Father just pass. And we trust the Son of God will be there to catch us. Because there are bondages in all of our lives that the Spirit of God is trying to break. We've got to trust. Trust in the cross of Calvary. Trust and embrace it little by little. Little by little. We trust in God. We trust in who He is. And He breaks those things. Sometimes He can break it in an instant, and we can live, and sometimes He can't do it because it's too hard for us. It would really destroy certain things in our lives, so He's patient and kind. But we got to trust Him. Just as that lady trusted that man that she did not know. That's the amazing thing. I mean, you know, don't send our kids to somebody, we don't know, you know. But to throw that child down, and I say throw, I mean really, yes. And that man to catch it, the child. Jesus is there to catch us. Take the leap of faith and trust Him. Take another leap of faith and trust Him. Take another leap of faith and trust Him. Take another leap of faith and trust Him. And then all of a sudden you're going to turn around and, oh my God, I got this one. Yes, yes. Little by little, He takes control and makes things happen. He is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He's not the little peon God that's in the corner somewhere, a statue that's in some kind of mosque or a church somewhere. He's not a God that lives in certain animals like cows, Hindus. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the God that created the earth and everything in it. He's the God that created Adam and Eve. He's the God that created all the trees and everything upon the earth. That's the God we serve. He's the God that sent His Son for us to die upon a cross. And as He died upon the cross, He died because of humanity, because of us. But He rose from the grave also because of us. He's a God that never sinned. He's a God that never had a bad thought. He's a God that never did evil. But but was poor as a pure lamb for the slaughter. Gave his life, laid his life as a lamb to the slaughter on the altar of God. And God received it and said, from now on, I am reconciling myself back to humanity. Nothing will be in the way. You are the blood that seals us. You're the blood that glues us back together. The Father, the humanity, and Jesus in the middle. The blood that glues us back together. We can now have a relationship. We can now do what I want to do in you because of what has been done by my Son. He's the King of Kings, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Let's be like children going before him, saying, Lord, I put my faith in you. I don't understand this. I don't understand that. I surely don't understand this. But I know you understand it all. And I put my faith in you. And the storms of life, as Peter was walking on that water, as they rise up, we don't know for sure how long he walked with those storms rising up, but he probably walked a little ways. We need to keep our eyes upon Christ. And as the storms rise up, they can rise up. But God will keep us through the storm, no matter what. That's the God you serve, people. Praise God. Shout unto the hilltops that he is the King of Kings. Shout from the hilltops that he is your Messiah. Shout from the hilltops that there's nothing impossible with your God. That's the kind of God we serve. Praise be unto our God. God doesn't want us walking our lives as Christians limping. Unless, who's the God that God touched and started to limp? Jacob, thank you. Unless we're maybe Jacob and God touches the hollow of our hip. Oh, that's something. And then we can walk with a little limp. Oh, yeah, that's the King of Kings. You might say, well, why did God do that? Maybe not number one, but just to let him know, every time he took a step, God was there. God is here. Yes, he is. I feel it. You need to be reminded of who God is continuously. Let him build your faith in him. Let him build your faith in him. Every day get in that word and let him build your faith in him. Every day lift up your hands and say, God, you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's be a little bit like Daniel. We can learn a little bit. As he opened his windows and looked to the place of worship.
Yes.
Continuous 3 times a day.
Amen.
By God. Don't let a day go by that you don't look to heaven and say, Father, you are my King. You are my Lord. Praise be unto you. Father, I love you. Father, I praise you. Father, I honor you. See, we gotta voice our opinion of our God. We gotta voice it out. We gotta voice it out. Praise be unto our God this day. He is God. He is Lord. He is your Savior. Probably every one of you can tell me miracles of things that happened in your life that God has moved upon. Don't forget those things. Don't forget them. Remind yourself. Saying, if he did this, he can do this. If he did that yesterday, he can do that today. That's the kind of God we serve. He is what? Messiah and the Son of the living God. Amen. You may stand, please. Praise God, praise God. Amen. Praise God, praise God. I think I got all my notes. I'm not sure. I don't know.
I don't know.
An extra. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Amen. Would everyone just bow your head for just a minute? Father, we come before you this day. And Lord God, we thank you. We thank you. But I want to ask you a very important question as every head is bowed, every eye closed. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? If you died today, would heaven be your home? If there's a doubt of any kind, you need to let us pray with you. If you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, would you please raise your hand? I see your hand. I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? I see. Amen. Let's all pray this prayer together, okay? Because we have a few people that raise their hands. Say, Heavenly Father,
I ask you to forgive me
of all of my sins.
Of all of my sins.
And I believe that you died on the cross.
And
you rose again from the dead.
And
you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I give you my heart.
I give you my life.
I give you my finances.
I give you my
family.
And everything I have.
Your will be done
in my life.
Lead me
and guide me.
In Jesus' name we pray. Look, guys, Jay and I, we appreciate you. We thank God for you and love you. And we pray y'all have a great week this week, okay? Amen. Oh, but there was something else I need to say.